Ooh, Fatality is following me on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Well, nice.
His brand is not him.
Oh.
Wouldn't that
Officer,
be cool?
his brand has been following me for weeks.
Welcome to episode 198 of the PC Gamer Podcast for October 29th, 2009. This is your host, Logan Decker, and I couldn't be happier than I am right now sitting right here in the PC Gamer compound with my friends, colleagues, and cohorts. With me today, reviews editor Dan Stapleton.
I think Logan could be happier if he were to like fall into like one of those ball pool, like the thing the kid jumps into with a bunch of balls in there.
Ball pit,
that's right. Except instead of balls, it was full of squirrels.
Yes!
I think Logan could be happier if he was there.
Squirrel dive!
And then you'd kill them, and then you'd feel bad.
Hey. No, they, they're durable, as we were talking about.
Those were armadillos.
Yeah, you know, close, kind of. Associate editor, Evan Lottis, right over here, right across from me, looking festive.
Hi. Torchlight is such a good game. Everybody play it.
Man, yeah, that's what I'm hearing from, like, everybody. Everybody who's anybody. Intern Eric Belsas is with us today.
They released more achievements for TF2, so now my life cannot do anything else till I have them.
You will do nothing. No hygiene, no eating, no nothing.
If your life was a submarine, it would say full stop.
Yes.
that's exactly right. I'm such a TF2 achievement guy.
So who's the poor soccer
whore
now?
Whore is the word we're looking for. Not achievement guy, achievement whore.
The guy who just said poop sock is intern alumni Josh Augustine.
Top of the morning, carpe diem. You what? I'm Andy Salisbury. I approve this message.
What the hell was that?
Whoa!
I asked some people on Twitter what I should say, and I just compiled them all into one large statement.
That's intense. Let's do that one more time. Hold on. And intern alumni Josh Augustine is with us.
Top of the morning, carpe diem. You what? I'm Andy Salisbury, and I approve this message.
He's speaking in tongues.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure he's not actually Andy Salisbury.
But still, I mean, I like the delivery and the way he pulled it off twice, you know. Anybody can do something once, but to be able to have done it twice was pretty cool. And finally, we have the podcast-producing boss monster, Andy Bauman.
What's up?
Nice. A lot of verve today, gentlemen. This is good. This is really good. It's been a good week. It's going to be a good weekend. We're two days away from Halloween.
As long as my Green Man costume arrives, which I just got an email that said the FedEx plane is something, so it might not be here till Saturday.
So you do know it is the 29th, right?
I know. You're aware of that. But they're supposed to ship out all the Green Man costumes.
What went wrong?
What is a Green Man costume? Is that anything like the Blue Man Group? Are they like the Blue Man Group's rival? Do they have like street gang fights?
Anybody out there who's seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was hoping that's what it was. Do you know like the whole verse and song and stuff?
No. But I'm going to learn the dance in the first episode that he appears in.
One of my friends was that last year. What are you doing about the... crotch situation.
Not going to worry about that one.
Wow.
I don't know about you, Manny, but I always worry about my crotch situation.
Yeah, it tends to work itself out, you know?
If you don't worry about it, other people will worry about it. And you don't want that.
Maybe you're right.
That's pretty intense. I have no idea what anyone's talking about, and I think that's for the best. This gives me plausible deniability when the FCC comes down on my head over this one. Well, 2 days away from Halloween. I'm certainly excited. I hope people don't get shot in my neighborhood again. But do we have a treat for all of you though. League of Legends released this week, and courtesy of developer Riot Games, we've got 5 copies of the League of Legends Collector's Pack to give away. Not just any pack, but the collector's pack, a premium bundle of the game that includes a game disc, access to 20 of the game's champions, equipment upgrades, a collectible map, and $10 worth of in-game currency. What a deal. All you have to do to get your hands on one of the copies is submit your finest question, comment, or mini rant to us for next week's podcast in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to write in your name and address in the email, and you'll be automatically entered to win. We'll select 5 winners at random and let you know who won next week, and play the question, comment, or mini rant. Remember, like Rich Cole hurled into an orphanage furnace, your questions stave off the terror of pneumonia. Do they really, though?
I'm so scared.
Okay, that didn't come from the CDC. And by the way, this unfortunately is for U.S. residents only.
And it's not orphans to stave off pneumonia.
It's not because we're mean. It's just because we follow the law and we must.
Right, your congressman.
Yes. Hey, you know.
Wait. If you're not a U.S. representative, or resident, you don't have a congressman. So,
but you can still write them.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't see why not.
You can write someone else's congressman.
Yeah. Well, Infinity Ward delivered some scares this week with a leaked video from Modern Warfare 2 that appears to show the player participating in a terrorist attack. And by appears, I mean, well, there are a bunch of people in an airport being mowed down by terrorists with automatic weapons, and whoever's at the mouse and keyboard is playing as one of them. Activision huffed that the video was taken from a copy of the game that was obtained illegally and is not representative of the overall gameplay experience. And then they released the following statement. Infinity Ward's Modern Warfare 2 features a deep and gripping storyline in which players face off against a terrorist threat dedicated to bringing the world to the brink of collapse. The game includes a plot involving a mission carried out by a Russian villain who wants to trigger a global war. In order to defeat him, the player infiltrates his inner circle. The scene is designed to evoke the atrocities of terrorism. Activision also pointed out that the game has been rated mature by the ESRB, which is not terribly surprising, and the players also have to pass through a mandatory checkpoint where they are warned that upcoming gameplay may contain disturbing elements, and they can choose not to engage in the gameplay that involves this scene. So there's two riveting issues here. One, did Infinity Ward leak the footage in order to harvest free promotion through the controversy? And two, what the f***?
Yeah.
I mean, up front, we should say that nobody here is now or will ever advocate banning any game, regardless of content.
No.
Because that's stupid.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely.
I guess the bigger question is was this a good idea on Activision's part? And Infinity Ward's part. And I guess the context, as Logan said, is you're playing as a CIA agent who's infiltrated this Russian terrorist organization. You walk into this airport with three guys from that terrorist organization. And, you know, it's like a typical airport, like security line, like you'd see with it. So there are dozens of people standing there, and everybody else, like, opens up on the crowd, just mows them all down. And especially without the context, it's really messed up because the guy who's playing the game in the video is actively taking part in it. So like even like with the CIA, infiltrator thing, it's like a CIA agent probably wouldn't be doing that, in most circumstances. So it's the kind of thing that you see in a movie or something like that. And that's one thing. I mean, it's obviously intended to make you, you know, feel, you know, bad about, you know, want to stop these terrorists because they're obviously bad people. But it's the kind of thing I would expect to see in a cutscene, not like putting a gun in my hands and like, one thing I would be really interested to see is if, because you can shoot the civilians, but I want to see if you can shoot the terrorists. I mean, like it seems to me like if it were actually, or you know, if it's putting you in that situation and you are a CIA agent and you start shooting civilians, it should say mission failed.
Yeah. But also turning the gun on your cohorts would be anathema to your mission, right?
Right, but I mean, like either one seems like a fail state in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because either you are participating in a terrorist attack, you know, or you're, you know, standing there and not stopping it. And it's kind of weird. I mean, like, not stopping it, I can see as like, you know, CIA letting a few people die to stop a nuclear attack. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like a ticking time bomb thing, you know, special circumstances, but actually pulling the trigger yourself is messed up.
What do you think, Evan?
So, I mean, I don't know, when something this controversial comes into play, I think a lot of people bring up the nature of expression and what, you know, how movies do it, how television does it, mm-hmm. how ratings work, censorship. I'm not really interested in that stuff, honestly. Like, okay. I'm not interested in it. I don't feel like, oh, we need to protect the way games express certain things, or they have a right to have mature and serious dialogues with people and engage people's emotions. I mean, yeah, obviously we agree with that. I mean, we write for a magazine that is interested in those things. Just as a gamer, you know, as someone that likes shooters and likes Call of Duty, mm-hmm. this just isn't something I wanted in my Call of Duty game.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if I'm talking about a game that I'm expecting to be an action blockbuster experience that's just very linear, you know, sort of popcorny in my opinion, and like very well produced and entertaining, and I sit down, I have a great time with it, and I'm done with it. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to hold games back by saying this, but like, I'm not looking to be emotionally engaged in that way, in the way Activision wants me to, in the way Infinity War wants me to, by challenging me to feel weird when I'm shooting innocents or I'm a terrorist or something like that. Like, that's just not what I'm looking for in that game.
Oh man.
Okay.
I think that's exactly what I'm looking for out of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, because all my enjoyment from the first game came from the single player campaign. I didn't really play it at multiplayer, right? So basically, the little spots where you're driving in the car, you get shot, or the last little bit. Of course, these are kind of spoilery if you haven't played the first game, but whatever.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, it's been long enough. And then for the second part, you're the American guy walking around in the, after the nuclear bomb goes off and you're like dying. Like, those kind of things brought sort of a weird sense of like thinking about it differently than you normally would. And I thought it was really effective. And so when I sort of glanced over this news story when it broke, I didn't get so deep into it and read that long, weird statement that Activision put out, which well, sort of...
Yeah, I guess you missed the video, too, and Activision, in a sense, had those pulled down.
Oh, yeah, I totally missed the video. But the idea seemed really, like, ballsy and kind of cool to me and appealing, and I would love to see that in a game.
It's definitely ballsy. I agree with you on one hand. I mean, I liked a lot of the stuff in the Call of Duty 4 campaign. I thought they did stuff... you know, then they did evoke a lot of emotion with those scenes that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. and that
you don't usually see in a first person shooter.
Yeah, and that's not even mentioning the C-130 part, and that's sort of like pulled from, if you guys, and I know this video was floating around the internet for a long time, almost like pre-YouTube, of the guys like shooting at people underneath cars and stuff with this, I guess it's a C-130. And their cold reports of killing, like, we got them. It's like exactly the same. And so that video, playing it in COD 4 was like actually really kind of creepy.
Right. And you know, that's one thing. I mean, that is soldier on soldier or soldier on enemy combatant warfare. This is something different though. This is killing innocent civilians. Just, you know, walking into an airport and mowing them all down. And also we should also say before anybody, calls us on this, is nobody here, I'm pretty sure, and you guys can agree with this if you want to, I don't think anybody here thinks that this is going to inspire anybody to walk into an airport and mow people down.
Absolutely not.
And we totally enjoy GTA 4 for the same reason. You know what I mean?
Right, but GTA 4 is a little bit different. I mean, GTA 4, you know, Nico is out there to fight mobsters and yes, the cops when he gets in trouble. But, you know, the people he's sent to kill are all armed. You know, they're all, you know, people that have demonstrated they have bad intentions. They're not good people.
Well, right. But what about when you're just, you know, idly kind of wasting time and just
well, you think that's not the narrative, you know, putting a gun in your hand and saying,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, totally.
When you think about the tone of those scenarios, you know, someone said back to us on Twitter or Facebook that, like, well, how is this different than, you know, having sex with a hooker in GTA and then running over with a car? Well, I mean, there's, depending on how you play the game, there's a certain amount of humor to GTA in general, and just that context matters, right? I mean, Infinity Ward is clearly trying to deliver something emotionally evocative and serious, so we're supposed to take it seriously, and that's, I don't know, there's a big difference for me there.
Yeah, and they like there's an argument, and in my opinion, I think they took that too far. I think it's going to kind of drag the mood of the game down. And I don't want to feel bad about myself while playing a game.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Dan. Because like when I play Call of Duty, it's great because you feel heroic, you know. And this, from what I saw, I know it's taken out of context, but this doesn't make you feel heroic. It's I mean, you
makes you feel dirty.
Yeah, it makes you feel bad, and obviously it's taken out of context. You know, maybe it is like these people die, but you save millions. Either way, you in this cinematic, in this gritty of an experience, you feel bad, and that's not what I've come to expect out of Call of Duty games, I guess.
You're just making a meta
The stuff in Call of Duty 4 made, you know, it made you feel sad, but it was about like experiencing a heroic death. You know, it's dying in the line of duty. It's, you know, so, you know, doing heroic things and paying a price for it. This is not that same sensation.
Is that a bad thing though? Because I mean, isn't there something to be said for pointing out, you know, that the world isn't, you know, perfectly heroic? That sometimes things happen that are bad, and sometimes good people do bad things. No, and it's interesting to explore that sort of scenario.
There is. I just don't think that games are the right medium for that exploration.
That's exactly what I want to say. I mean, yes, there's room for those messages. We're not trying to discourage those conversations and those ideas and those feelings. But do we want to experience that in Call of Duty? I don't.
Okay, I also do want to point out, though, that we have no idea, really, what, you know, that video was all about. It comes out of nowhere. It's possible that, you know, somebody... that you don't actually have to participate in the terrorist attack.
You don't actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be they may not have wanted to comment on the plot or the story or anything like that. So until, you know, we actually see the game, it's kind of hard to say what was really going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do know that, and they did confirm that you are the CIA operative, and
but we don't know in like what context, what happened before, what comes after, if you're going to be punished for your actions, you know, it could be a lot of things. I just want to throw that out there because I think that, you know, these are creditable storytellers, you know, and they've got a proven track record. So I tend to extend them a lot of, faith.
And based on that statement, I think, you know, we can disagree if the content should be there in the first place, but it seems like they're handling the content or the content in a very good way, you know, warning the people ahead of time, hey, if you don't want to do it, just skip over it. That's fine. No penalty. Whether or not you think it's in there, I think we can at least agree. I think they're handling it, if it has to be in the game, just assume that it does, that they're handling it in the best way that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do, like they said, they give you the option, like they say, this is messed up, you might not want to play this, which in and of itself is kind of like an admission that, like, internally, I think they knew they went too far with that. And they're giving you an out, in case you don't want to see that. I mean, some people, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this are interested to experience that. But I think that a lot of people are going to be turned off by it.
My sense isn't that they feel like they've, I don't get that tone. Like, you know, we feel like, oh God, what have we done? It's more just like, you know, we're confronting like big issues that are real issues in the world today, and we wanted to hit them head on. And if it's just too edgy, go ahead and skip it, like Josh was saying. But, you know, I'm not really, I can't, there's no way I can be certain. I am looking forward to it. I am definitely looking forward to playing it. Not because of that. I don't want to sound like a complete crazy, but,
dude, Logan, I'm with you. Like, I kind of want a game to make me go, oh man, like, that was f***ed up.
Yeah.
I am still looking forward to the game, but not as much. And like, I think this, to me, kills my enthusiasm for it even more than the dedicated server thing. But that's as somebody who never really plays on, or never, you know, played on dedicated servers for Call of Duty 4. So that wasn't a big priority for me to begin with. So.
Yeah, it was. I do remember the first time I saw that video, and I'm just like, what the?
But to answer your earlier question though about whether they intentionally leaked it, I don't think they did.
You don't think so?
No, I think that this is there in part perhaps to create the mainstream media controversy, you know, like, you know, have basically what we're doing right now, except from a more sensationalistic perspective that you'll see on the cable news networks that will say, you know, the headline is, you know, murder simulator in a game, you know, terrorism simulator. And you know, that is essentially free advertising for them, because they know that no matter what, you know, how much outrage there are among the, you know, pro censorship crowd, there are many more people who will see that and go out and buy it. But I don't think they expected that to happen pre-launch.
Well, I don't know. If that's the case, isn't that at odds with their ambition that they've stated themselves, that this is going to be the highest selling game of all time?
No, I think that's directly in line with that. I think that the gains for the free publicity they will get from the news coverage are greater than any losses they would take for it.
I don't see it as positive publicity. I mean, obviously it hasn't happened yet, but if you think about like the violence element of GTA and something like Doom, there's like an urban sense of it. There's like a glamorous element to this. I mean, this is just saddening, like, to experience. This is just emotionally damaging to experience. That's not glamorous in the same way that another violent game might be. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Well, I mean, you know, they show on you know, cable news shows like Nico Bellic beating a hooker to death. And you know, it offends people that weren't going to buy the game anyway, but people that might, you know, are interested in games suddenly have Modern Warfare 2 on their TV screen. You know, it's just getting into their consciousness. And like, you know, like a lot of us, I mean, like I said, I'm less enthusiastic about it, but I'm still looking forward to playing the game. Yeah, I might skip that scene, but you know, this is getting people talking about the game. And that's what, you know, marketing is really all about.
It's also, I mean, not completely inconceivable to me that it could be a kind of, you know, focus testing, or, you know, like throwing it out there, like what will, you know, get us lots of, you know, emotion going without going too far. You know, how far can, let's leak this out, see if people are outraged, see if they welcome it, you know, I don't know.
I would be very surprised if it's an intentional leak. If it was, I don't think they'd have pulled it down.
Yeah. I think we can all agree, though, that it is very Halloween scary. coming up this Halloween weekend, it's Valve's just having a party this weekend already, like Team Fortress 2 today. It'll be done by the time you hear this, but they're selling Team Fortress 2 for $249 until 5 p.m. That's very soon.
Now, before we were talking, like last week, we were talking about the $249, $250 thing, like, you know, $249 instead of why not $250?
Yeah.
It's like, that's just kind of weird. Why $249?
Because it's fun.
Yeah,
why not?
Okay.
Because the extra digit is free, you know? Because we are free people in a free country, you know? Mm. And if we don't use our freedoms, we don't deserve them, you know? So use your nines or they'll be taken away from you. They are busting out with some nice Team Fortress 2 Halloween stuff this weekend. Anybody know specifically what they're going to roll out?
So there's going to be a new King of the Hill map called Harvest. I haven't seen it yet. I don't think the update has actually been published yet.
No, but it's a map that is in circulation. It's just like going official. So I've played on the map. It's got like pumpkins and haystacks. It kind of takes place on like a farm type environment. So I think what they're doing is they're taking it and like turning it to nighttime and turning the pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there was just a deathmatch version of it, I think, or an arena version of it, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
A while ago. But yeah, exploding pumpkins, some new hats, I guess, some new achievements, and ghosts, apparently. So,
ooh.
Fun.
Ghosts are always welcome.
You know, we should also mention on the in the spirit of the Halloween season, Champions Online is doing a free play weekend this weekend when they're doing a bunch of Halloween content too.
Yay!
You can go and preload the game now and then play for free over the weekend.
So you can just scoot your kids out the front door and tell them just go trick or treating for like 3 hours and play Champions Online.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that hopefully they'll come back. You know, and did your parents do the whole magnet production after trick-or-treating?
Oh, no. We had to go to, in Michigan, we had to go to the firehouse, like the, whatever you call it.
Like a centralized fire.
And everyone would have their candy scanned for like at least four
wow,
or five.
Really?
Years. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, was there a problem? Like,
detectors. Was there no, there was no problem that I knew
prior.
Of.
Yeah, I mean, you never ever heard of these atrocities that happened to kids, you know? But they were, or they just had that urban legend sound to them. And because we would do multiple rounds, you know, we'd get so much loot where I grew up in Sunnyvale. And we'd have to dump all our candy on the table, which would piss me off because it would mix my candy with my brother and my sister's. Be like, no, 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 you're trying to create borders. And my parents would make this huge production with a giant magnet, you know, the size of a saucer, going over all the candy while we're just riveting, going, we're going, please, 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 apple, stick.
Not the Butterfinger, not the Butterfinger.
I was just waiting for something to leap out, you know, and stick to the magnet, and it never did.
Oh, they're far too clever to get detected by metal detectors.
You know, yeah. Only thing I ever, only restriction I ever had was my parents wouldn't let me eat anything that wasn't, you know, factory wrapped.
Was.
What?
Yeah, we did get apples way back then.
Yeah, and that's lame. And apples are what they were really afraid of the razor blades being in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a total nightmare scenario, you know, for a kid, you know, eat into an apple. Ah! I remember one thing that kept me up for a long time was my friends were telling me, like, imagine you're sliding down a banister and you're going faster and faster. It's like on a really, really giant house and you're sliding down this huge banister and you go faster and faster and faster. And then it turns into a razor blade. And, that was probably, yeah, I remember I just stayed up for nights on end, replaying that scenario over and over again. I just couldn't stop thinking about it.
Have you ever slid down a banister since then?
No way! No way! it was just so haunting. No! Oh, God, oh, God.
It burns.
It burns?
I would imagine, like, multiple things happening. Like, one, I just get split in two. In another one, I get stuck, you know?
Evan apparently was eating hot razor blades.
I was.
Yeah, lots of different things happened in many years I have thought about it. So Left 4 Dead 2, the demo is finally released for pre-orders. It's going to be quite a weekend for a lot of us. If you haven't pre-ordered, well, there's no reason not to, but if you don't, you can still, you will be able to get the demo on the 2nd of November. So that's just, I think that's Monday, right?
Yeah.
It's coming up close. There was a little angst regarding their release date.
Yeah.
What was that about specifically?
It was supposed to happen last night. Or yesterday afternoon, rather. Oh, wait, am I wrong there? Everyone was supposed to happen the previous day?
I think it was the previous night.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So, nights ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So it came out on schedule for the Xbox. It was supposed to come out on the 27th. Yeah, it's the 29th now. I can't even keep track of days anymore. So it was supposed to come out on the 27th. Then there was a last minute delay. It was going to come out yesterday afternoon instead. And then it just kept getting pushed back like an hour at a time. And the worst part, and like a delay when you hear about it, it's like a game that was going to be coming out 2 or 3 weeks from now. Oh, it's going to be out, you know, a day or two later. It's like, oh, that's no big deal. But when you're sitting down at your computer, you've preloaded the game, you're ready to start, And the appointed hour arrives, and like moments before it's supposed to happen, or like immediately after it was supposed to happen, they say, "Oh, not happening now. It's going to happen later." Then you start that's angry making. That pissed a lot of people off.
I mean, in some way, it's one of the downsides of digital distribution that developers can do that. They can shift their own dates that way. But
it's like having the circus come to town, and you've got cholera. And you can hear it, and you're in bed, you know, and you've got your blanket on, and do 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 do. There's nothing you can do, you know.
Man, I love Gold Rush era diseases.
And then you cough up blood, or do you cough up blood with cholera? Does anybody know?
I mean, pretty much everything happens.
Oh god! You mean you're sliding down a banister, and
that is one of the side effects of cholera. Yeah.
Okay, here is a. I've been super busy doing tons of stuff this week, and I have not had a chance to get into this. And I hear so much about it. Torchlight, what's going on here, people?
Torchlight is awesome. I mean,
so,
it really is. It's very surprising and impressive.
Everybody is talking about it, about how great it is.
I think the main thing for most people is they're like, okay, it's a $20 game. I'll put down $20 to revisit what's essentially Diablo.
Yeah.
But the polish, the random level generation system, the items, the characters. There's some VO in there. Mm-hmm. The graphics are great. The lighting's great. Just being impressed with the amount of polish and effort they clearly put in this game. Like, they really put their hearts into it.
But, yeah, it does seem to be a labor of love by these guys. And this is, you know, it's an action RPG. It's made by the guys who were making Mythos, who were at, Hellgate, the Hellgate London studio is named Flagship. Flagship, like, bought up this other studio that was up in Seattle. They were working on Mythos as, like, a secondary project. And they actually used Mythos to test some of Hellgate's multiplayer code, or, you know, network code. But when Flagship went down because of Hellgate, Mythos, the IP and everything got hoovered up along with everything else. I guess they had like mortgaged the IP, so they lost the rights to that. So this team left, you know, it was basically kicked out on the street. So they went and started their own company called Runic. And I was amazed at how quickly they turned this around. And because they lost all the assets and all the code to Mythos, and then mm-hmm. out of the ashes comes Torchlight, and Torchlight from what I saw of Mythos, Torchlight looks much better.
Wow,
it does. It's a beautiful game, and I think I forget the name of the engine, but they use an open source engine to generate their 3D graphics, and I think that kind of helped. That there's already a base of knowledge for this system. But if you're not sold on the game, the thing that really like the I love this game moment that really like sold me on it was so at level one, you have a companion pet that follows you around and attacks things or whatever. You can send it to pick up items.
Armadillo, durable.
Armadillo, if you wish. But when you're in a dungeon and your pet has its own inventory, you can just throw items from your inventory that you don't want into its inventory. And with one press of a button, it'll run all the way back to town, sell them for you, you know, conceivably talk to a merchant in its dog speak and be like, hey, look what I got.
It's got a post-it on its back.
Yeah. And the merchant will still give them a fair price, even though it's a dog.
But, yeah. Or it can be a cat, too.
It can be a cat. And they come back with the freaking money.
That's and you can keep awesome. Going.
It takes 30 seconds, and it's like,
It saves you the trouble of using a portal of, a school of town portal and going home and doing it yourself. Which you know really kills the momentum of just going through and hacking and slashing your way through all these monsters and everything. It's a great little system.
I like it feels very accessible too. I mean, the story kind of revolves around these gems that you're finding and uncovering, and that's kind of a lightly different approach than, you know, traditional fantasy and dragons and things like that. But the character classes themselves are pretty nice. Like, you're not very extremely limited in the weapons you can wield and the spells you can wield. There's like 3 different specializations per character. My range character is using a pistol and a shield right now, effectively, and that's kind of a cool new role for me, I guess.
Yeah, I love how they have pistols and rifles mixed in with the swords and sorcery stuff. That's a nice, you know, almost steampunkish touch.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in like the mining quality of the game's lore and whatnot. Yeah.
But yeah, you have in World of Warcraft too. You've got orcs with, they're not orcs, dwarves with like
hunters, yeah.
But yeah, I'm finding it really enjoyable. And you know, it's not super duper polished. Like not everything has voiceover. Just the main quest stuff has voiceover. There are no cinematics or anything like that. But it's a cartoony art style too. So you know, if you aren't into that, then it'll probably annoy you. If you're one of those Diablo 3 fans who threw a fit when Diablo 3 looked anything at all like World of Warcraft, this will not be for you. But I love the art style. I think it's a great way for them to make a game that will perform. They have a netbook setting in the settings. I haven't tried that out yet, but this would be an awesome game to play on a netbook.
Smart.
It'd be terrific. I could play that all night in my hotel.
Yeah.
I was just thinking how funny it would be if you really gave, like, an actual cat your inventory to sell, you know, and like 6 months later you'd find it in the forest and he'll look at you and go, what?
The last thing I'd say about Torchlight is I started the game on normal and it actually turned out to be super easy. So I started playing on very, very hard, which is actually 2 levels higher, and that felt about right. And one of the cool things is, well, there's no multiplayer, which isn't a deterrent for me at all. It has been for some people I know. There's a inventory chest in the middle of the town that you can share items between characters. So if you find like a really nice wand that you don't want to sell and you want to save for another character, you can throw it in there and trade it. So That's cool.
It's kind of a neat little system because you know, people, it's a game that seems to just let you do what you want. You know, it's like, it doesn't want to say, no, you can't do that. You know, it just wants to let you have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I hear, I think that they're planning to do multiplayer, you know, co-op multiplayer in the future. But they've basically released the single player to fund the development of the multiplayer.
Yeah, which is really an interesting approach. It's supposedly going to be, from what we've talked to them about, a free-to-play MMO, actually. Mm-hmm. But who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that gameplay morphs into an MMO. I mean, I guess it's all kind of a, you know, similar setup, but an MMO, really? With a persistent MMO?
Need to make it bigger.
Yeah.
I guess.
Hmm. Well, as many of my friends know, that I'm a person of mixed race, and that can be really heartbreaking sometimes for a child when they do that thing with the eyes, you know? And they're all like, Chinaman or whatever. And I'm like, hi, I'm not Chinese. Leave me alone. But you know.
You're running into a lot of racist children.
it was a kind of, you know, it was
sort of. I'm really wondering where this is going.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, I mean, if you're unhappy with your race, well, we do have some fantastic news for you, because you can now change your race in World of Warcraft as much as every 3 days for $25.
Try them all. Try them all.
Why not? Why not? You know, I think you've been able to change your gender for a long time, right?
Yeah, gender, yeah. And you can change like your hair and skin color. Yeah.
But this, why not? You can change your race every 3 days, you know? Because I've just noticed, like in my neighborhood, it's totally like, it's all about Asian girlfriends and boyfriends. Like they're hot right now. They're that thing. So people, you know, would want to switch to be like in the in race for, you know, this month or whatever.
I think you should do this entire topic in the Bruno voice. Asian girlfriends are so hot right now.
I
can't do Austrian.
I'm just seeing it a lot, you know, lately. So, you know, I think that's pretty cool.
So what's the in race right now, Josh?
Yeah.
Ooh, undead, for sure, because everybody has been going horde. Nice. That's concerned with PvP, and then a lot of raiding guilds are. But the great irony, of course, is I think it was 1 or 2 days after they released the race change, where supposedly a lot of people switched to undead. They did a big nerf on the racial that makes undead so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone will probably be switching back. And that's a nice $50 a piece.
Nice.
What was the racial advantage that made the undead better for?
Will of the Forsaken. It was really good in PvP. If you were feared, it lets you break out of fear, and then you could have control of your character again. Then they nerfed it to where, it has a shared cooldown with anything that does similar, which everybody has. So.
Oh, it's a racket. Nice work.
Yeah. I don't know if there was any sort of connection there, but it definitely was funny to see the timing on that.
Did you say it was $50?
It's $25 a piece. So to switch to undead was $25, then to switch back to a different one after the nerf would be another $25.
I mean,
and then your friends are all like, weren't you dead?
No, I'm back. It's cool. Like, I mean, Torchlight is $20. $25 to change your character's race?
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly, I mean, it's not like it costs Blizzard anything to do this. Yeah. I think it's probably for them. It's just they think of it as some people really want to do it, but they don't want to make it something you do every day. So I think more than a profit, you know, thing for Blizzard, although that's a side benefit, I think it's them trying to discourage you from doing it all over the place.
What, do they need a new yacht or something?
Yeah, but see, the interesting thing with that, which what they've done with like faction changes and changing your skin and stuff, they just put a long cooldown on it where they said you can only do it, you know, once every 3 months. That's what all the other ones have been. It's like a 3 months or 60 days. And this one, they're like, hey, you can do it every 3 days.
Right, so maybe they did smell a little money on there, but... I mean, who would want to change their race every 3 days?
There's certain people, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
People like Logan.
Trends, you know? The trends happen, and they're like, ooh. You know, everybody wanted to be dead all of a sudden. Who would have guessed?
Change my socks every 3 days.
Instead of trending topics, trending races.
Yeah. Well, I think the undead are so hot right now because of the Twilight movies, but yeah.
And Halloween, perfect time.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
My recommendation would be buy Team Fortress for you and 9 of your friends for the same price.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have 9 friends that don't already own Team Fortress 2, you need better friends.
Touché.
They're not your friends unless they own Team Fortress 2.
You know, my very, very favorite part of the podcast is hearing from our readers. So
that part.
Why don't we hear from our readers?
That's my least favorite part. Listening to all those whines. Oh, wait. We're recording, aren't we? No.
Cut that.
I love that.
Dude, there's a lot of questions this week. But there's one that was about someone's Windows 7 launch party. So I think we should take a listen.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Jason from Long Beach, California. I just want to tell you about my Windows 7 party. I created a LAN party, but I combined live-action role-playing. So this is what I did. People had to declare their character type, thief, assassin, peacekeeper, or wizard, declare their allegiance, pirates or ninjas, and were given some spells that they would cast during games, such as must only use melee weapons or must yell out a battle cry for every kill. There were nerf guns, costume pieces. Everybody had a ton of fun. I awarded gold and XP for every match. People wore Mardi Gras beads to indicate their rank. People would level up. They'd get more gold, buy better nerf weapons, ammo, food, and drinks. Everyone had a ton of fun. I never tried anything like that before. Just thought I'd share that with you guys, and I think I may have just invented something awesome. Thank you. Have a nice day.
See, that is really cool.
I'm thinking but that
could have pulled Afghanistan together.
If there's another showdown, we kind of implement the same rule. We're like, to buy a balls, you have to do a certain amount of quests or something like that, you know?
Wow. I mean, I'm still trying to run the whole operation through my head.
So, shouldn't a Windows 7 party have something to do with Windows 7, though?
Well, it had something to do with it. Yeah,
that's how he sent out the Evites.
Yeah, he got a free copy of Windows 7. That's what it had to do with.
Thanks, Mike. You're soft.
And then they brought together a racially diverse group of people of different ages, and they all sat around in the kitchen, and they were like, wow, you know what? You can really do this with the video editor. Check it out.
Notice how he didn't say there was any network problems. Must be Windows 7.
There you go. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, you know what? We have a true leader in our midst, and thanks for calling in. And I'm going to hire the guy for my next party.
This is the first time I've ever congratulated somebody for LARPing. Let me just say that. Well done.
I still actively discourage it.
Yes, absolutely. Well done. All right. Let's hear from another lucky listener.
Hey, guys. This is Mauricio. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I just want to say you guys rock. And Logan, you're awesome. Thanks.
No question.
Is that it? Oh, it's so touching. Yeah. God, that is awesome.
That is not being cut.
You are not cutting that.
Absolutely not. Hey, why would I do that?
I feel better about myself. I don't know about you guys.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Tom from Vancouver, British Columbia. I have a question. I've been rocking the NVIDIA 8800 GT for about a year now. And I've been wondering, I mean, it's been pretty good for me. I haven't been able to play Crysis, I mean, all the high-end games. But I'm wondering if it's time for an upgrade. I mean, I know there's some new good cards coming out that you guys are talking about on the show. And I'm just wondering if it's time to upgrade my card, or should I just stick with my 8800 GT because it's reliable. Okay, thanks for the podcast. Yeah, keep up the good work. Bye.
First of all, I just want to say thanks, Mauricio. That was really awesome. That totally made my day. Oh, wait. Okay, we've moved on. Everyone else moved on, but I didn't. As for the, you know, you sounds like you have no complaints really about your performance. If not, I mean, you've got probably my all-time favorite card. Ooh, NVIDIA fanboy. you've got a card that's serving you well. You don't seem to have any complaints about your frame rate. So I would say just kind of hang on for a while. Card prices will always, always, always fall. And you will always be able to get more power for less money tomorrow. So I say just hang out until you really start feeling the pinch. You know, when you fire up something and you're like, oh man, I got to take down anti-aliasing to get it run smoothly, something like that. Until then, you know, just kick back and then you'll be able to buy more power later.
It does come across as a, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of situation.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, that 8800 GT will be great through, you know, StarCraft 2 and Star Trek Online, the Old Republic. Although by the time that comes out, you'll probably want to upgrade, but for something else. It'll be good for BioShock 2. It'll be good for pretty much everything coming out that is, you know, most of these things are console ports, or like a lot of the big games are coming out of console. Not ports necessarily, but developed side by side. So they're developed to run on a lower end machine. You know, around the 8800 level, like that. Mm-hmm. That's right around where that's kind of parity. You know, it's right around with the Xbox. So that'll be able to run just about anything console porty.
I was going to interject real fast that it all depended for me on. So I don't know what size monitor this guy has, but mine's a 24-inch 19x12, and the 8800 GT was sort of showing a little age at the full res 19x12 in the newer games. So that's the reason I jumped on the 5870. So just because I wanted to keep running the full res, but it ran really, really good at like 1680x1050. So if you're running like a 22-incher, it's still such a good card. Like it's still going to be giving you perfectly good frame rates and high detail.
And that's true. The fancier cards these days really, you know, beat the crap out of everything over the last couple of years at rendering, at doing like high resolution. So if you've got like a 30-inch monitor, and you're doing like 2560x1600, then you're really going to be able to take advantage of the power of these new cards.
Yeah. Let's hear from another lucky listener. Hi, Mauricio.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. It's Cliff out in Anaheim, California.
Oh, it's Cliff.
Hey, listen, just a comment today. I just wanted to comment on the Dragon Age character creator. I think that it was really awesome, and I'm glad that they released it. And it's just really something different that a lot of other developers should probably look at for, you know, if they're doing an RPG. Also, I noticed that Dan kind of spoke about Desolok coming out and giving the review on the actual podcast and talking about it. I think one of two things. One, for him to come on the podcast, this is either going to be one hell of a great game, or two, it's so bad that he actually has to come out and defend his review. So you guys got us all waiting here with bated breath, so got us all anticipated. So keep up the great work. We're looking forward to this.
Yeah, we are planning to have him on next week.
Oh, yeah?
He's nice. He's excited about it. So he's actually clearing his schedule. He's a busy guy. We're gonna get him on here, come hell or high water, whether we have to record late or whatever. But we'll make that happen. And he definitely has a lot to say about that game. So brace yourself.
You'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
I can't wait. I got questions.
Dun dun.
My question is, where's my copy?
Well, I guess Direct to Drive is already preloading it, and it comes out on the 3rd.
Dun dun dun. So no, I gotta finish Borderlands first.
Yeah.
To like get out of obsessed mode. Let's take one more question.
Take it.
No.
Hey, PC Gamer. I'm Chris. I'm actually a longtime reader. I've been with you guys for a long time. I had a question I wanted to ask you. I had just recently been doing some research into the 3D monitors and 3D gaming since NVIDIA had just released their new 3D vision glasses. And I had found one that was actually a very, very, very good pricing for the glasses and for the monitor, which I had ordered, which is coming up this upcoming Friday. The question part of that is 3D gaming worth it? Is it something that, you know, people should invest into? I've been getting into a lot of the old games, and I'm looking for something to kind of really enhance the experience, and 3D gaming seems like something that would bring that out, especially playing games like Left 4 Dead, Far Cry 2, etc. So that's something I wanted to ask you, and thank you very much, and great job with the magazine. Keep it going. Thank you.
Who wants to go at him first?
At BlizzCon, they had a giant projector screen with World of Warcraft in 3D, and they had the big glasses, and, you know, like seven people with the glasses, one person controlling. And, I mean, I was impressed by how good it looked. It wasn't just like, you know, the HUD's on one level and then, you know, your character's on another, then everything else is on another. Like it layered it really well, and it really did enhance it. To me, I don't know. I think I might get a headache if I tried to play, you know, for extended periods of time like that. But
Well, they claim it doesn't cause headaches this time around. They say this new tech doesn't cause headaches, right?
Technically, it shouldn't, but you know, everybody reacts differently to. Because before, the thing that caused a lot of nausea and headaches were very low refresh rates.
Right.
Whereas now that you know the NVIDIA one that runs at 60 hertz, so it should technically not have any problems. But
yeah, 60 hertz, you need a 120 hertz monitor to run it because it's rendering things twice in 60.
Exactly. Hertz. Now the thing is that I would say for you, the caller. I would say the 3D glasses are exactly what you're looking for right now because, you know, you're looking for something new, something to sort of enhance the experience. And that's what it does. Myself, I like Resident Evil looks absolutely spectacular with the glasses. I got to play it, that way for a while, but it's just not something I think about that much. It's not all that compelling to me.
You know, one thing that he said that made me think maybe it's not such a good idea for him is that he said he's into old games. You know, he's thinking about going back and getting some older ones, and the 3D tech just won't work with those. Well, unless they have specifically gone back and patched them to be compatible. So this tech will not make a game like the original Far Cry look any better.
Yeah.
It's got some new bells and whistles that they're building into games that are coming out in the future or games that are heavily played right now, but don't count on it making your old games look any better.
Yeah. So is there no 3D tech that like works with any game that it's based on the tech and not the game supporting it specifically?
There is, but it's pretty cheesy. It's exactly what you'd expect. Like the HUD, you know, pops up and they even had one. I saw one, you know, recently, that used just the, I forget what kind of, you know, just the glasses, like you, when you go to the theater, it has those simple glasses, not the shutter ones. And, you know, it was pretty blurry and the resolution is kind of, you know, held back a little bit. It's not all that impressive. Definitely the Envision, the GeForce 3D Vision glasses are the best implementation. It's just so expensive that, you know.
How much is it? These days,
it's like the glasses themselves. I think are $300.
The glasses themselves? Wow.
Yeah, but if you buy the glasses and the display together, which you kind of have to because nobody has 120 hertz display, you get a package deal for I think it's. I think you'll really like it. You know, you can always return it if you're really unhappy with it. I don't think you will be though, because it's a really really cool effect. It's such a production, you know. You put on the glasses, you have to sit kind of right in front of the right spot, and you know, it's just not the kind of gaming I tend to enjoy. I just like to kick back and
you know, for me personally, I'm not really all that high on the idea. However, like when I buy my next monitor, it's going to be 120 hertz, and you know, so I'll be ready for it.
Yeah,
but I'm not like really eager to jump the gun on it. It's something that is kind of, it feels like a minor enhancement to the gaming. And like when I watched, the only movie I've seen in 3D was Up. Mm-hmm. And I watched that when I had the glasses on, and it was really neat for the first, you know, half hour of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then I completely forgot about it. It's, mm-hmm. it's like, I just forgot that I didn't even really notice it anymore. So to spend all the money on it and, you know, it's something that you forget about and don't really notice after an hour or so. Uh-huh. Yeah, not really my idea of a good expenditure right now. But in preparing for it in the future, yes.
Plus, you know, it's hard to wear the glasses for more than like an hour.
Right.
And all of us sit at our play games for way longer than an hour, you know.
Right.
But again, I think it is what this guy is looking for. You know, it's that something to elevate your games one more, you know, notch.
Right.
And it does do that, and it does work really well. So,
if you can afford it. Stimulate the economy.
Yes, and we need stimulating. Well, we are just about out of satellite time, so let's talk about playlists. I've been playing Borderlands, and that's about it. It's one of those games I find so easy to obsess over. I can't wait to go home and play it, and then I just sit there humping my mouse all night. I could spend all weekend pulping my enemies, and probably will this weekend. Now, I know that the delayed launch was a bit aggravating for PC gamers, but I gotta say, I wish that
For example, I wish that the Wachowski brothers had annoyed me by delaying the release of the Matrix sequels, but then actually released something worth waiting for. You know what I mean? So, because then all is forgiven, you know? So, you know, I know people were kind of angry, but, you know, it's worth waiting for. So
yeah, and it's definitely a good game. It's not the end all be all. You know,
I'm having so much fun. You know,
yeah, I enjoyed it for the loot lust, mm-hmm. And for the graphics are awesome in that. I love the visual style. It always baffles me when people complain about cartoony art, because especially when it's, you know, not like Disney cartoony art, because I think it just looks fantastic in games.
Yeah.
And just the fact that, like, you'll walk by a washing machine in Borderlands and you're like, oh, that's really cool to look at. You'll go in and, you know, get a close up look at that washing machine, just because it's unique. It's, you know, you've seen washing machines in dozens of games, but none of them turn your head like this. That's great.
I could not agree more with you on that. And even more so, the games will look better, you know, years from now if you want to go back and play them. I mean, there's really no downside to an interesting art style, I think.
But you're also using a video card that has washing machine shaders, so that's not really not everyone's going to have that, you know, same experience. So
right. I can't wait to see the washing machine in 3D.
I also had a blast playing Machinarium, and now I've got the soundtrack on, you know, a loop in my house. Dan, what have you been playing?
Torchlight for the last couple nights. I've been enjoying that. It actually took precedence over Borderlands, although I had spent a lot of time with Borderlands for the review, so I'm a little bit of Borderlands burnout. And another significant problem with Borderlands that actually kept me from playing last night, because Norm Chan and Will Smith from Maximum PC were playing, and they invited me to their game, but my level was different from theirs. Like they were actually a little bit ahead of me. They were in like the 40s, and I was 37, and so if I join their game, it will pop up and say, you know, these guys are further ahead than you are. I guess it's actually just referring to the story missions, saying like you won't be able to you won't complete the story missions because you haven't completed up to that point. But you can't really play like that. I mean, if you go and try and fight the enemies they're fighting, you get killed in one hit, and you do no damage. And meanwhile, you're getting experience for every kill they make. So you can just sit there and do nothing.
That's exactly what Norm was doing. It's terrible. Right.
I was, you know, he was like, oh, you gotta just stay here and level. I'm like, how is that fun? That's not fun. It's like, oh, but you get like third dibs on all the loot we get. That's also not
third
fun.
Dibs.
So, well, Will was highest level, so he got first dibs. And then Norm was next, so he got second dibs, and I would get the runoff. I don't see that as entertaining at all. That's like, you know, walking behind it's like a little bird picking up the scrap seed that a bigger bird gets, you know, picks off a feeder. You know, it's not any fun.
Hey, it's honest work.
Right. So so instead I went and played Torchlight and had a blast with that. I'm also playing with a ranged character. I'm rocking the dual wands, which is pretty badass, because I've got acid damage on one and fire damage on the other, and it's just like alternating green and red blasts, and I've got like a ice bomb that I throw and, you know, freeze a group of enemies, and I'm also summoning a couple of like imps and a golem to go and kill stuff for me. So yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with that. The thing that annoys me the most about it actually is you can get all these powers, but you can only load two of them into the interface at once. So, like, I've got a golem, and I've got the imps, and I've got that ice bomb. But if my, like, so I summon a golem, and I summon some imps, and then I switch one of those powers out for the ice bomb. But if like my imps die or my golem dies, and it's the one that I switched out, I have to pause again, go into my inventory and restore that power, summon that item, and then go and restore the one I took out. It's kind of weird that they only let you keep two in there. That's my biggest gripe with the game so far.
Okie dokie, artichoke. Evan, report.
Yeah, Torch as well. Dan, you're making me feel bad for not playing an alchemist. It sounds awesome. I went with the Vanquisher, which is more of the rogue, you know, female archer slash musketeer, I guess, with an actual musket, not a sword.
Okay. Well, I hope you feel bad. I hope you feel remorse for leaving out the alchemist.
I do. I wanted to play a magic user, but actually Eric and Josh and Prentice and myself started a new D&D campaign, Dungeons and Dragons, of course. And I'm playing a sorcerer. I didn't want to like get my... Okay, this is weird. This is a weird question. Has anybody been in a situation where they're playing two similar types of games and don't want to play the same like character class like concurrently because you feel like you're sort of mixing or like diluting like the sense of what those characters are? Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Like, it doesn't even like, not even if I'm playing them at the same time. Like, I go back like in Fallout, I played a sneaky rogue guy. So then maybe if I'm going to play Oblivion next, that's the wrong order, but I won't even consider a rogue because that's what I did in my last role-playing game. Mm-hmm. I totally understand what you're saying, Evan.
Well, I mean, that's more of a you know, wanting variety, and that's the way I am too, Eric. I don't want to play the same type of character over and over again, just because, like, you're not getting the same variety that you would if you spread out your styles. And, you know, some people really like one type of character and they'll play that type of character in every game ever, no matter whether they're playing it concurrently or one after the other, but that's not how I do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I just like to sneak and stab people in the face.
That's
but,
nice.
Yeah. But for me, that has nothing to do with like the actual role playing. I'm not as deep a role player as you are, Evan. I can't hold a candle to Evan's role playing.
You can
prowess.
Say that again.
Damn.
Yeah. But,
Josh,
can
you tell me about where you've been stabbing people in the face lately?
Mostly in the right cheek. Sometimes I go straight for the chin.
Uh-huh. And what kind of games offer this activity lately?
League of Legends, for sure, as Shaco the Demon Jester, who is incredibly similar to the Joker from the Batman animated series.
Mm.
And in World of Warcraft, working on the official WoW magazine is a blessing and a curse in the sense that I pretty much play World of Warcraft all the time now. And so I'm having trouble finding times for other games. But I did get in some Plants vs. Zombies and old King's Quest games on my netbook when I've been traveling.
Did you change your race?
No, I didn't actually. I am happy with mine.
Just
Troll
check
rope.
It.
That's all you need.
Josh believes in the purity of his race.
I can see that.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in these mixed race things. That's
yeah. Well, it's not that I'm racist. I just don't think they should be mixing in this way.
Oh,
I have piles of undead friends. I let them use my bathroom, but
yeah, you gotta draw the line. Mr. Belsas, talk to me.
I was fortunate enough to have my hands on a copy of Dragon Age for about a week now.
Da, da, da.
And I won't say too much because it's gonna be exciting to have Deathlock talking about it, but I'll say that I can barely put it down and come to work. It's excellent.
But that's also because when he gets here, we beat him. So there's some hesitance to come in.
Yeah.
But you do what you have to.
We have to beat him.
in the time I've been able to scrape myself away from Dragon Age, I also got my hands on a copy of DJ Hero, completely different type of game. It's really cool.
Dude, is it good? Because we were talking about it on the OXM podcast, and I'm kind of intrigued, but it's expensive.
I know it's expensive, but it's completely renewed my faith in like music games in general. It's super
really?
Fun.
Does it have a yep. good track list?
Gentlemen, this is an abomination. Take it to your own podcast.
All right.
Yeah.
Damn.
We'll stop.
What was that all about?
Sorry. Wow.
You know, I've been totally cool with your lifestyles, but don't shove it down our throats. We don't care. We just don't want to see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What you do in the privacy of your own home is up to you.
Whatever. Yeah, you
I'm
know
the most
what? We
hardcore,
don't ask questions.
Hardcore,
we don't care.
Elitist.
Just the way you, you know, sling it around here.
Come on.
Just like, you know, wave it in our faces. So I'll jiggle it.
So, Mr. Bellman, what else have you been playing?
Uncharted 1. Oh, just kidding. Actually, I it was so hard to see everybody playing Borderlands. It's like one of the only times I've seen every single person on my list in a single game, like the day it came out. And so I jumped in and played a little bit of Borderlands. I'm hoping to play more as soon as I can get some time away from my side projects and such. But yeah.
What character did you start out as?
Of course, Mordecai. I'm always the sniper, so.
How are you liking the sniping so far? Because I think that is the most difficult one to play as.
Really? Interesting.
I love it.
I actually like the pistols with the scopes, like the revolver scopes.
Right.
Even more.
Yeah, that stupid bird.
Yeah, and the bird is neat. I mean, it can do some neat things later, but it just doesn't compete with the other powers. I don't think it cannot get you out of danger like the other
ones.
It's
like attacking your enemies with a flying loofah. It's completely useless.
I met a falconer in real life once and had like a 30-minute conversation about it. I was so in fixed by it.
Are you talking about your spirit quests or
no? Just, you know, IRL.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know what goes on in your Utah land, but
yeah,
there's no falconers out there.
I've never encountered a falconer here. Now,
yeah, dude, yeah, crazy.
We don't roll like that. And don't be a gamer. This is Logan Decker, your podcast host, and I am giving all of you a direct order right now to send us your questions in MP3 format to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. That's pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com, or just call us
for free.
Yes, League of Legends. Remember,
an excellent game. Oh, and if you do win, you should add me as Nereus, Nereus, to your friends list, and we will play many, many games.
Okay, this has been the Josh Augustine podcast.
And make sure when you send that entry, you include your full name and address, because otherwise we can't send it to you.
Yes. Or you can call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question there and keep it short and clean, or we'll report you to the phone company or voicemail company or somebody. You can also subscribe to our awesome magazine by heading over to pcgamer.com and subscribing. We're also looking for gamers who crave instant fame by having their awesome screenshots and photos of their rigs and gaming setups printed in the magazine. Send them to letters@pcgamer.com and you just might see your handiwork in the PC Gamer letters section read the entire world over. The PC Gamer podcast crew, this is a rock legend, Logan Decker, saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again next week with Deslog. Andy, if you could bleep out the two f**ks,
yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
I got marks on those, so yeah. Hopefully I won't miss them.
They made f**k marks?
Marks.
Hey, everybody. Andy here. I just wanted to tell everybody about my web series I've been working on, chuckthescout.com. You don't have to pay anything. It's just for fun. Kind of a low-budget little comedy we've been working on. That's why I haven't been gaming a lot lately, so thanks. Hopefully no one gets mad that I put this in the podcast. Love you guys. Bye.
What's your obsession with the Scouts anyway?
I'm looking at my Eagle Scout project through a series of community services.
Get the f*** out of here.
I'm going to get you, Chuck, for the sandwich time right now.
27 deaths? You are banned forever from the Boy Scouts of America.
I just kind of always regret it. I'm going to earn the merit badges independently. Then I'm going to petition the Boy Scouts of America to get my Eagle Scout badge.
Oh, Chuck, don't forget about wolves.
Wolf.
Oh!
Basically, viewer discretion advised. It's kind of R-rated, I guess. Chuckthescout.com. Tell me what you think. Leave a comment. Bye.